Good morning. Welcome again to First Baptist Church, Spring Hill. We're glad you're here on this May 31st, last Sunday of the month. And next Sunday, we'll be back in the building, and we hope that you will be able to be here. If not, we'll still have videos available for those who are unable to come at this time. Today, if you would open up your Bible, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to be reading in verses 32, beginning in verse 32, and going down through the end of the chapter through verse number 40. So beginning in verse 32 of Hebrews chapter 11, the writer says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, also of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. All of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us." In Hebrews chapter 11, we're given a roll call of the heroes of faith, who in a variety of circumstances and in spite of all of their weaknesses and all of their failures, they learned what it is to live by faith in God. Well, the writer of Hebrews realizes that he doesn't have time to give the details of all the individual heroes of faith that's found in the Old Testament. So in verse 32, he says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of." And then he gives us that summary of all the people that he could have talked about and could have given us illustrations of, but he just didn't have time to do that. Well, what the writer of Hebrews does is what I'm going to have to do this morning, and that is I'm going to have to kind of summarize the lessons of faith that God gives us in these last few verses of this chapter, this faith chapter of Hebrews. But the main point, I think, of these closing verses is that the life of faith is possible to all believers. We're all able to live that life of faith. You see, the life of faith is not a luxury which some believers may experience. It's really a necessity that all of God's people need on a daily basis. So whatever the obstacles or the difficulties that may confront you, you need to put your trust and your confidence in God to see you through those circumstances of your life. So what I'm going to talk about this morning is a faith that is always faithful. Well, first of all, I want to point out to you in verses 32 through 35, we have some statements about a faith that conquers. Some are mentioned in 32 by name. Others are mentioned in verses 33 and following by their fame, by their reputation. So in verse 32, he names six people, and what he does is he summarizes the period through the judges and the kings and the prophets. And what a roll call this is when you consider this is just average, ordinary people, weak in so many ways, and yet they learned the secret of living their life by dependence and faith in God. You see, faith is not trusting in ourselves, but it's simply learning to trust in God. The great heroes of faith were weak. They learned what it is to put their trust and their faith in a great and strong God, because in themselves they could not do the things that they accomplished. What I'm going to do is pick out one of the characters in verse 32 and then show you his life as an illustration of a faith that conquers. And I want to talk particularly this morning in verse 32 about Gideon. When you first discover Gideon in the scriptures, he's a very weak and a very fearful person. He's afraid because the Midianites have invaded the land and they are threatening to overcome the people of God. And when you run into Gideon in the Word of God, you'll find that he is hiding in a wine press, threshing wheat in order to hide it from the Midianites, and that's in Judges chapter 6, verse 11. He doesn't exactly, when you first see him in the scripture, look like a great man of faith, at least what we would expect when the Bible lists him as a hero of the faith. He's not what we would picture as a great hero of faith, hiding in a wine press, threshing out the wheat. Well, the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon, and he says to him in Judges 6:12, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." And I can almost imagine Gideon, as he hears the words of the Lord, he begins to look around to see who's he talking to. A mighty man of valor? Me? I mean, Gideon says, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all of his miracles?" Now you think about it, here was the Lord who had appeared to him in the form of an angel. He had a miracle standing right there in front of him, and he's asking, "Where are the miracles?" That's who Gideon was. Well, of course, we're all kind of like that, aren't we? I think we are. Sometimes God does things right before our very eyes. He does some miraculous things in our lives, and we wonder, where's God? Where's God at? Well, the Lord told Gideon that he was going to win a great victory through him. And Gideon began to whine in Judges 6:15. He says, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. How can I do anything?" Well, the Lord said to Gideon in verse 16 of Judges 6, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Later, Gideon said, "Lord, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, let me see a sign. Let me see a sign." Well, I'm going to read to you out of Judges chapter 6, verses 36 through 40, and read these scriptures so that you'll see the picture that I'm trying to paint for Gideon. So Gideon says, "Show me a sign. Look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there's dew on the fleece there only, and it is dry on the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said." And it was so, when he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, and he wrung out a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Don't be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it be dry only on the fleece, but all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground. So Gideon got together an army of 32,000 men. And the Lord says, "Gideon, that's too many. Too many." They were outnumbered, 10 to 1. And yet God said 32,000 was too many. So the Lord said, "Tell these soldiers that all of them who are afraid can go back home." Well, when he told them that, 22,000 of the 32,000 got up and left. They went home, leaving 10,000 men. Then the Lord came back a second time to Gideon and said, "Gideon, there are still too many." I mean, he's gone from 32,000 to 10,000, and God said, "You still have too many men," and they're outnumbered multiple times over. So the Lord told him to take the soldiers down to the stream and for them to get a drink of water. Some of them got down on their hands and knees and began to drink the water, totally unprepared if the enemy would come upon them. Then there were others who recognized the need to always be prepared, and they kind of kneeled down, they kind of picked up their water in their hand and kind of drank it like this, kind of looking as they were doing that, looking for the enemy that might come. So the Lord said, by the 300 men who lapped, the ones who put their hands to their mouths, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. I mean, he's gone all the way from 32,000 down to 300 men. What was God doing? I think God was teaching Gideon what you and I have to learn, and that is victory is not won on the basis of our strength. It is won on the basis of the strength and the power of God. He was going to take a band of 300 men and beat this huge Midianite army. See, God can use a weak person who understands that by faith, he can claim the great power of God in his life. The Word of God tells us that Gideon and his little army surrounded the camp of the Midianites, and the Bible says they shouted, "The sword of the Lord and Gideon!" And when they did, God gave them a great victory. Listen, I want to tell you, that is what our faith should be all about. We should trust God in whatever he asks us to do. It's not that you and I can hold on somehow and get the victory ourselves. It's not that you and I can draw upon our own natural resources, but it's that we need to learn to put our utter dependence on God, like Gideon and all these men did. And when we do, God will give us the victory in our lives as well. Now, in verses 33 and following, he tells us about others who learned to conquer by faith, but he doesn't mention their names. But we pick up on most of the names that are reflected in these verses by the statements that are made about them. For instance, in verse 33, it says, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Well, that kind of goes back to who he'd just been talking about, and that is Moses, who brought the nation of Egypt to his knees because of his great faith. Then it says, those who worked righteousness obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions. And of course, who stopped the mouth of a lion? Well, we automatically think about Daniel, but even we really have to realize it wasn't Daniel who stopped the mouth of the lion. It was God who did that, but it was Daniel whom the lions were about to devour. But God prevented that from happening. And of course, that's how you and I conquer, is by living upright lives. He worked righteousness, it says, and he obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions. So we need to live an upright life, and we conquer by doing the impossible by faith in our Lord. In verse 34, it says, quench the violence of fire. And that, of course, is a reference, I think, to the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who walked into the king's fiery furnace, and of course, because they trusted God, they were untouched by the fire. And of course, we know that when the king looked in there, he says, wasn't there three that we put in there? I see four, and one is like the Son of God. And of course, it was the Son of God protecting them through that fiery furnace. Then he says, escape the edge of the sword, and that could be a reference to King David, or David as he was fleeing from King Saul. And, he escaped the edge of Saul's sword. And then it says, out of weakness we're made strong. Now, there's a statement that's very important in the matter of living by faith. We're weak in ourselves, but we are strong in the Lord. They became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And that could very well be a reference to Joshua. Then verse 35 says, women received their dead raised to life again. Remember the Shunammite woman and her son who had died, and she sent for Elisha, the man of God. When she made her way to Elisha, Elisha sent word to her and said, is it well with thee? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? Well, of course, it wasn't well at all, was it? Because her child was dead. And yet, in a great statement of faith in God, she says, it is well. Folks, that's what faith is all about. You don't go by the appearance of things, you go by the promises of God. Then it says, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. The word tortured there is an interesting word. It means to stretch out and to beat with rods. And in those days, sometimes they would stretch people over torture racks, and literally they would beat them with rods. And that's talking about God's people who encountered all kinds of difficulties and great hardship, yet they refused to surrender their faith for some kind of temporary deliverance that might, he said, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Excuse me. The whole point of these verses is that faith enables us to conquer. But secondly, faith, we need faith to continue. Sometimes we need faith just to hang on, to hold on when things don't seem to be working out. When you come to verse 36, there's a kind of a change in the emphasis. And to be honest with you, when you begin to read about these faithful people in verses 36 through 38, on first glance, they certainly don't look like winners. They look like losers. Because listen to verse number 36. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and of imprisonment. That doesn't sound like the language of victory, does it? I mean, they were scourged. They were put in chains. They were put in prison. But you see, they still were living the life of faith. I want you to really understand what I'm talking about, because we are living in an atmosphere today which teaches that faith always kind of helps you remove your obstacles. Whatever the obstacles are, you can just by faith remove those. If you just have enough faith, then you can be delivered of anything that comes your way. That's what we hear from the religious world in so many corners today. And I want you to notice the contrast in verse 34. It says that a group of people escaped the edge of the sword. Verse 37, he talks about those who were stoned, sawn in two, tempted, and slain with the sword. Now, the first group escaped the edge of the sword, but then there were those who were slain by the sword. Today, groups would probably say about those who were slain, well, you see, your problem was you just didn't have enough faith. You just didn't have enough faith. Well, I want to point out to you that in verse 37, we're talking about people who had faith just like the people in verse 34. Sometimes people would have you believe that if you just got enough faith that you will receive health, wealth, and fame. But verse 37 says they were destitute. They were suffering need. Doesn't sound like they were getting wealthy, does it? It says they were afflicted. Doesn't sound like they had a lot of health, does it? They were tormented. That means they were mistreated by evil people. That doesn't sound like an easy life. That doesn't sound like a life of fame to me, does it you? There are some people who teach today that if you'll just give your life to Jesus, that he'll make you a celebrity. I mean, he'll make your road just easy as it can be. Well, I've got news for you. If you give your life to Jesus, you may wind up on some foreign field in some darkest jungle somewhere telling people about the Lord Jesus, and you may never be heard of again. Are you going to give up and quit because you don't get healthy, because you don't get wealthy, and because you don't get famous? Absolutely not. You cannot do that. You need faith to continue on in this life. You see, sometimes God chooses to deliver us in response to our faith, but other times when God doesn't choose to deliver us, sometimes, see, God will lead you through the difficulty, but other times God will lead you in the difficulty. Sometimes it takes more faith to endure than it does to overcome. We need faith to continue, faith to depend on God, even when things don't work out. See, the easiest thing in the world is to have faith in God when everything is going well, when there's no problems and no issues in our life. It's great to live for God when your family is doing well, but what about when they don't get well? What do you do then? What about when you pray and you pray, and instead of getting better, it seems like it just gets worse? Are you going to throw your faith overboard? You'll never know what your faith is, folks, unless it's put under test. Faith in the sunshine never really reveals its character and its caliber. is faith in the darkness and in the rainy days and in the shadows. That's where you learn what your faith is truly all about. I want faith to not only conquer, I want faith to continue. I want to be true to the Lord regardless of what happens. Some of the greatest people of faith have been people who knew what it was to suffer, to be afflicted, and to have very little in this world. There may be some of you today who don't know Jesus as your Savior, and I'm not going to be dishonest with you and tell you that if you give your life to Christ, that all your bills are going to get paid and that your family is going to be healthy from now on out, and that you're going to have an easy time in your life. I'm not going to tell you that. Folks, you don't come to Christ with the agreement that you're going to, that, you know, when you give your life to Him, that everything is going to be rosy and cheery. He's not going to promise you that He's going to give you health, wealth, and fame. When you come to Christ, you come to Him realizing that you're a hell-bound sinner, realizing that because you need Jesus to save you from your sins, you need to cry out to Him. And because you determined to walk by faith in the life that Jesus wants you to walk, then you trust Him to help Him. He's going to help you walk that walk of faith, regardless of what material or earthly benefits are attached to it. It doesn't matter. You just want to say, Lord, I'm going to walk with You. It doesn't matter what happens in my life. I'm trusting You because this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Because our treasures, folks, as the song says, are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Look at these people. They didn't get on anybody's who's who list, did they? But by faith, they lived for the Lord. Well, actually, they did kind of get on the who's who list because they got here in the Bible in Hebrews chapter 11, didn't they? Absolutely. Look what it says in the first part of verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. Oh, I like that. You see, the world looks at God's people and they say, they're unworthy. God looks at His people and says, no, the world is not worthy of them. The world is not worthy of My people, is what God is saying. The world says, they're not worthy. God says, they are worthy. The world says, they don't count. God says, oh, but they do count. The world doesn't appreciate you. That's all right, because God does appreciate you. And you need to continue on living for Him. You may not have much of the world's good. That's all right, because you've got all kinds of treasure laid up in heaven if you're serving and living for the Lord. You need to continue on. We need faith to continue regardless of the cost. That's the kind of faith that the Word of God is talking about here. Faith to conquer, faith to continue. And then thirdly, we need faith to conclude. Verse 39 says, all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. In spite of the fact that they did not receive the promise, they concluded. I found this little phrase that had stuck in my mind. It says, a faith which falters before the finish had a fatal flaw from the first. Let me say that again. A faith which falters before the finish had a fatal flaw from the first. You see, the business of faith in God is a faith that concludes. It goes right on to the end. What he's saying is that all these people in the Old Testament who are characterized by that great faith died before they ever saw the consummation of their faith. You know what the promise was? God said to all these Old Testament saints, I'm going to send a Savior. I'm going to send the Messiah. And you know what? Every one of these people died and the promise hadn't come. It never did come in their time. But look at verse 40. God having provided something better for us. What he's saying is that God took us and them, Old Testament and New Testament, saints alike, and he builds us around the promise, the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord Jesus. The Old Testament saints were saved looking forward to the coming Christ. They were looking forward to what He was going to do when He comes. You and I are saved by faith looking back to what Christ has already done. Looking at the finished work of the Lord Jesus on Calvary. See, they had something to look forward to as they came to death. Though their victory was not a victory that was apparent, Their victory was nonetheless very real because they put their confidence in God's word that he would one day send a Savior. You and I can face death today because we put our confidence and our faith in things that we cannot see. People have asked me over the years, "Preacher, have you ever seen Jesus?" No, I've never seen Jesus physically. How do you know then that God is going to keep his promises and sending Christ back again? Well, I know that that's true because God has given to me his holy word. He's given to me his Holy Spirit. And by faith, when I put my confidence in what Jesus did and asked him to forgive my sins, he put his spirit within me. And when I put my faith in Jesus, he changed my life. He made a brand new person out of me. He's helped me throughout my life. I know that his word is true. And what God did for me, he'll do for you. What God did for these Old Testament saints, he will do for you. I'm not going to promise you an easy life this morning, but I am going to promise you a blessed life if you'll give your life to the Lord Jesus. I'm not going to promise you that you'll get healthy and wealthy and famous if you give your life to Christ, but I'm going to give you a promise that if you give your life to Christ, you'll have a reason to live, and you'll have a hope in the hour of death, and you'll know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And one day you're going to see Jesus face to face. I hope today, if you don't know Jesus, that you'll place your faith in Christ this morning. That you'll call out to him and ask him to come into your life. And Christian, you've already done that. You've already believed and you've already placed your faith in him. Now you need the faith to continue on throughout the heartaches and the trials of your life. Times may be hard for you, but he will give you the faith to continue on. He will give you the faith to keep going for him. And he will give you the faith to conclude your life one of these days when he calls you home. And you can close your eyes in death and open them up to a new world, a place called heaven, where Jesus is going to be. Oh, I tell you, that's a wonderful promise. I hope that you have that promise in your life today. And if you don't, please call on Jesus' name and ask him to come into your life and save you. Let me pray with you and then we'll be dismissed. Father, I thank you today. I thank you for the faith that is exhibited in all of these Old Testament saints, Lord. Even though they never got to see the Messiah, never got to see the promised one, they still believed. They were constantly looking forward to his coming. And Lord, we today didn't get to see him because he was here before we ever came up on this earth. But yet we look back to what he has done for us on Calvary's cross. We look back at his perfect life. And we realize that we can live for him daily because he has empowered us through his Spirit. Father, help us to be faithful every day. We need to have a faith that is found faithful every single day living for you. And I pray today that you would encourage each one that's watching. And Lord, if there's one that's watching that doesn't know you, I pray that your Holy Spirit would draw them to you. God, that you would just let them know that they need to call upon your name so that they can be saved. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for the promise of heaven. And we look forward to continuing to live for you by faith every single day. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you this morning. Next Sunday, we'll be back in the building. So hope that you will get to be here. If not, then we will have a video available online for you to watch. So either way, I will see you next Sunday. God bless you and have a great day.